And we're back.
Black and a Half.
Episode 68.
Yes, with I am Silas Lindenstein.
I'm Annie Martin.
And we are Black and a Half, bringing you our weekly program. And this is the special post a ball apocalyptic episode.
For those of you who don't know, Silas just had a vasectomy.
Yes.
Yeah.
We did it. We ended the reign of terror.
Yeah,
Silas has inflicted on vaginas around the world.
The Lindenstein curse has been broken.
It's broken.
Yes.
So we're recording not in the studio.
Yeah. We're at his humbled abode.
Because I can't drive on the painkillers I'm on right now.
I wish you could see him right now. He has no pants or underwear on and just pees on his frozen peas on his balls.
Pees on the pee. That's not true.
He has pants.
You gotta snug him up.
There you go.
You gotta put him in there and keep it tight.
The harness. Do you have like a bandage around your balls?
I do have some gauze.
Okay.
Yeah. There's some
damage.
Some blood.
Okay.
So we're doing that. Yeah, I know.
You know what though, man? Hey, you're a manly man, like you talk about in the podcast.
That's right. I have three kids.
And
so that's enough. That's more than enough.
There you go. You have your namesake now. You have
I have the boy, so I don't need any more.
There you go.
Right? Yep. I finally got it right. Got the boy. keep my name going. If he ends up gay, I'm gonna tell him you still keep your name.
Exactly.
You make them change
your
name.
That's right.
You are a top.
That's right. You're a Lindenstein. You are the band.
To the top.
Yeah, I don't even know the terminology.
I don't know. Me neither. Yeah. I've just heard one, so I use it.
There you go.
This is a fun episode. I talk about the side. I don't get graphic in
it.
Talk about the experience of
the only graphic part is when we talk about mats, but that's about it.
Yeah.
I don't know if we talked about that very much, though.
Look, I think, I don't know if there's a stigma. I told my wife, I feel like there's a little bit of stigma. Like I never hear people talk about a vasectomy unless they're like, yeah, I got one so I can never have kids. Or they talk about it like, oh yeah, we're done. Oh yeah, we got ours.
Totally.
I got mine done. Like, but people they're not like forthcoming that much about doing it. And I think we should destigmatize it. I feel like there's a virility thing.
Yeah. I've only known two people to have vasectomies.
To admit it.
To admit it, exactly.
You,
yeah,
a lot of people have had one.
Just you and my buddy Carl. So
yeah, no, you know more of the people that have had one. Mm. They've told me since I've mentioned it.
It's safer for men than it is for women to have.
Well,
because women is under major surgery.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
This is a in and out procedure.
Totally, hysterectomies are no joke.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so men, you should do it.
Right,
you should do it instead of making your partner do it because it's
tube side. Sorry, not hysterectomy. Yeah, whatever.
All of it.
Yeah. So.
Look,
do it for the ladies.
Did we pass health class? No.
No.
Makes no. Sense. Yeah. Would I have three kids if I had passed health class? No, obviously. But I think it's something that we should destigmatize. You're not less of a man because you had a vasectomy.
Right.
I am less of a man for so many other reasons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
so same here.
We chat a little bit about that. And look, I would tell you a lot more what we talked about, but I'm still high.
So I'll tell you. We talked about E3.
E3.
Which is the Electronic Entertainment Exposé.
We talked about a few video games. We're going to get someone on here to talk extensively about
it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Women's World Cup.
Talked
about the results there, that big 13-0
thing. Man, good for them.
I went off about homeless people.
Yep.
I was going off on the people that yell about RVs.
You went off in a positive way.
And we do touch on Manny was recently at the Moore Theater.
Yeah.
Performing. And we talked a little bit about the 48-hour film festival.
Totally.
Oh, and Manny's acting class.
Yes.
We did an acting class.
We get into that. So.
And speaking of the 48.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. We're
raising $1,000 for the 48-hour film project so we can shoot a film this summer.
Thank you.
And you as a Black and a Half supporter.
Yeah.
Probably want to step on there and show yourself as a backer.
Yeah.
We've got, we've raised about 22% right now. No. We're over 25 now.
Oh,
we hit 25% this morning.
Fourth of the way there, guys.
Yeah. So
thank you to everybody who's donated so far. And
we'll be naming names later.
We will. Yeah.
I can't. You know what I did? I named someone's name.
Oh, shit.
And online, and they said, hey, I had to untag myself from there because I didn't want my wife to see.
Fair enough. Like, I get it.
I get it, but I'm also like, come on.
Yeah.
They should let you.
You're right.
They should, did they not see our pictures?
Right.
If they see our picture, they'll be like, oh, you should donate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They look desperate.
Yeah. So I got, now I got to read what people wrote. Yeah. Whether I just saw their email and was like, hey, big up blank and blank.
Yeah.
And that I didn't see that it was anonymous. Like, oh shit. Crap.
Oh,
okay.
Man.
So,
Yeah. Well,
Anyway, I'll read your thing there, but you can, you should donate, help us make this dream come true. I don't want to beg.
Yeah. And especially with, especially with today, today's episode is brought to you by giving. You know,
brought to you by giving.
Giving.
You know, what other people do.
Yeah.
Since 1812. Yeah. So check it out. We have a little funny video on there, and get some more rewards coming out. They'll be up there by the time you go. It's on Indiegogo, but you can find the link at blackandhalf.com/fundraiser. That'll right. That'll have the link over to the thing.
Yeah, and instead of thanking Skyline today, I want to thank Gretchen for taking the kids on a magical journey to wherever you guys may be.
Yeah, so we can record.
Yeah, greatly appreciate
however,
it.
However, if you are looking to buy or sell a home, please go to silasgetsreal.com, and that'll connect you with me. And, you know, you can either donate to our fundraiser or you can buy a house. One of the two will help this movie get done.
It really will. And so, you know, if you buy a house from Silas, you'll be picking up some great gardening tips. And
that's right.
You don't want to miss out on
I
that.
Will tell you all about your garden.
Yep.
And what you could do with it. I might even take some clippings from your trees that are there so that I can grow more at my house. Because I care. Because I care.
This shit's gonna be looking like Wakanda soon. I love it.
Do you know there's a bonsai? There's a tree called the money tree.
Yeah.
You can grow it indoor. I didn't know that.
It doesn't have real cash on it, though.
No. Yeah. I don't know why they call it the money. I think it's because they die so much, you spend a lot of money trying to get a new one to keep alive.
I could see that.
Yeah. This is the high episode.
Yeah.
Because I'm a little high.
Like, listen, and subscribe, guys.
But legally.
Legally high. Yeah, he has a prescription.
What's that song? Because I get high.
Because I got high. Because I got high. Da, 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 da. I don't know. By Afro Man?
Is it? I was like, is there any meaning to that song besides because I got high?
No, that was all. It gets pretty graphic. He was like, I was going to eat you.
Oh,
too,
really?
But then I got high.
But then I got high.
But then I got high.
Oh, well, that's kind of like an anti-drug commercial. Because people are like, I don't want him to do that because then he's not going to eat my whatever. Eat my insert.
Because he got high. My burger, whatever. Because he got high.
Because I got high.
So,
So listen to this episode because you got high.
Yeah.
Okay. But thank you so much for your support. Help us with this movie, and we will make it up to you tenfold.
We will
tell you that. That's it. I'm high, so I don't know how to end this
episode 68. Manny and Silas,
because I got high.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
It's interesting. This is the second time I've come over to your house, and literally this is the first time I've been invited inside, though, because, you know, I guess you don't.
You were generally invited inside in the last one. It was a housewarming.
Yeah, that's true.
You used the bathroom.
I used the bathroom. The colored bathroom.
The laundry one?
Yeah.
Yeah, no shower in there. I don't want you to shower.
You know, so it's funny coming over here.
It's, by the way, you've been invited like 12 times.
12 times.
So
this is the second.
It's not like Silas only invited you over twice.
So when I got here, it totally took me back to my grandmother's house, where it was like 20 minutes of her taking you to go look at everything that she grew in her garden. She was like, and if you look over here, I have some junipers. And if you look over here, I have some figs. And you go ahead and eat one. And you're like, okay, grandma. But I was actually impressed.
But for me, it was like, look at my bonsai next to my X-Wing fighter.
Exactly.
It's a little different.
Yeah. Look at my Death Star in my plant. I was like, this is badass. If my grandma had had even a touch of that shit, It would have been amazing. So
Mainly, it all started. Look, I just wanted to show you the thing that I built in the backyard, yeah. But I'm high. And so then I just started talking about all my plants. Like, look what I grew. Hey, look at this. This is what else
I did.
It's
impressive. It really is. I mean, like, just to see, I mean, and like, I don't know, just your random luck, but just to see that you painted that shit and it matched the furniture.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, no, cool. I have this pergola. That's what someone still called it. So
that's what it's called, pergola.
Yeah, okay. Which I thought was a patio.
Okay.
Cover. I don't know what the difference is. Because there's no door. Well, it's not attached to the house, so I think that's why it's not a patio.
Oh, okay.
But the pergola, yeah, that I picked this paint, and then we also, and I didn't paint yet, so Gretchen had never seen it. And then we go and look for a table, and I bought this one, and it matches, like the chairs match. That's
pretty
random.
Badass. Yeah.
Well, it's meant to be. Sometimes in theater, I feel like that happens. Like I have this meant to be designs, mm-hmm. like it comes together and I'm like, oh no, well that's perfect.
Right.
Like there's something in the universe trying to make this happen.
I've noticed even on the side of the house, just how like creative you become. Like, I mean, I think you've always been creative, but I mean, just like putting together these like home improvement type like pieces they look good. And so
I'm problem solving. Well, yeah. How much of it is because I'm like too cheap?
Right.
Or just, I'm like, well, this is going to mess up my shit. So I gotta fix this. I got to figure out how to fix it right now.
Right. Or else it's going
to. So it come up. Yeah. Because then it'll rot something.
And then you got to pay more. And
yeah. I mean, I could have just called somebody and said, hey, can you just go fix this?
Right.
Make sure it works. And they go do it. But
this place is dope, though, man. I really like it. It's got that.
Oh, yeah. I still didn't show you the inside of the
house.
Yeah,
not at
yet.
All. I'm just kind of so looking far. At it. I mean, the man cave.
This is the first episode in a long time that's been recorded at my house.
Yeah.
Like, we used to record the first ones. We're always
all
there.
The time at the house.
Yeah.
So
then I had children, and they're just loud.
And then
so we can't.
We had that neighbor downstairs, which was, he was always nice to me, but I don't know if it was.
Yeah, but you know, as soon as he went inside, he's like, another colored man.
Let me hide my daughters. Oh, God.
It's funny. My wife was just telling me, like, when we were over there, like, a year ago, he had said, apparently had this romance, this 4th of July romance, and it was, like, it was wonderful, it was beautiful, like, she's a wonderful woman, it was, like, one of the best weekends here of my life.
Right.
And then a week later, he's like, yeah, I'm not talking to her anymore, because I don't want a relationship, I don't want to get married, you know, and, like, wait, you jumped from one night to like she's gonna want to get married, and I was like, oh no, she dumped
him. Yeah, totally. But yeah, she was like, I can't do this. You live in
this was a guy who had an ex fiance.
Okay,
he would tell me about.
Yeah,
because he had to bring like his ex fiance needed some water, like they had broken pipes or something at her house, so he was filling these jugs to bring to his ex fiance.
Okay,
that's what he would call her.
Right,
my ex fiance.
So weird.
I'm like. Why don't you just call her
your ex?
Yeah. It was weird.
That
and
is
also
strange.
He said, like, he said he broke up with her.
Yeah.
Because she wanted to get married.
Okay. Yeah. That doesn't seem believable.
Cause she's ex fiance.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said he only agreed, but he didn't really want to get married because he's like, I don't want to get married again. I'm like, then you propose, like, what are you proposing to then?
Right.
Like, I propose that we get married, but not.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a fiance if you're not planning to marry them.
Yeah, that's a financier.
You're dicking them around,
yeah,
right?
That's, you know,
he broke up, he said, because she really wanted to get, it was starting to insist on getting married. I'm like, she's your fiance. That's literally the whole purpose is to get married. It's like, so when are we going to get married? Well, I don't want to get married. Then why did you propose to me?
Yeah, why'd you give me this ring?
Weird guy.
God, man. So how you feeling?
I'm high right now. Like, for those of you listening, I'm legally high. Not on marijuana.
Yeah.
I did a vasectomy yesterday. And so I'm on painkillers right now.
Two holes.
Just Vicodin.
Two holes in your
just
balls.
Just a couple holes in there. Okay, I'll tell you. It what's that?
Is that what?
Oh, that's your phone, man.
No, I think. Oh, it might be. Yeah, you're right.
Okay. Yeah. Got airplane mode there.
My bad. Okay, there you go.
They have to get a shot, like a topical.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Like right there.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I got in my set. Like, that's what they gave me, Valium beforehand.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Like, they should have gave it to me sooner.
Okay.
But, like, so it hadn't quite kicked in totally.
Right.
But I don't think I could have done it at all without the Valium.
Mm-hmm.
Because once the shot made me more nervous than anything else.
Ooh.
It was,
Did they show you the needle?
No, they put up a little curtain so that I couldn't see anything. So It was like when someone gets a C-section.
Right.
And you can't watch. They did that for me. And then I could feel them covering it up, like, before the doctor came. Uh-huh. Again, the nurse was covering it up. So, like, it was just like it was just the scrotum just hanging out loose. Ooh. That was the only thing I think she could see. Okay, and this was funny.
Yeah.
They told me, so to prep for surgery,
right,
you need to shave, right?
Okay.
And I was called, I was like, oh, so I got to shave all down there, right? And then I called because I couldn't remember that morning because I was like, I don't know if I can eat before this. Can I eat?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going under. So I called to ask, and she started going over the prep, and she's like, and just make sure you shave the scrotum area. I'm like, wait, just the scrotum? Yeah. I'm like, all right, because I was about to go in there. I thought I had to shave everything.
Oh, okay, okay.
So I was about to go
bald. Yeah, like your 12-year-old self.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was like trying to figure out, how am I going to do it? Do I need the weed whacker?
Oh,
what am I going to, how am I going to get in there that far? Like, I got the shave, I got the my old clippers, you know, for my hair. Like, I'm going to have to start there and then shave. And then she's like, oh, just the ball? I'm like, yeah, I don't even know how much is there. Well, way more than I thought, but... So I was glad I called because I was worried about how itchy it was going to be later. I'm like, oh, that's going to suck. And so now I'm like, oh, I just have to, it's a couple spots.
Right.
But they really, no pun intended, manhandle you, I guess, like when you're in there, like, cause I guess the tubes, it's like spaghetti down there.
Yeah. You know, that's what you said. You said, who was it? Matt?
Yeah, Matt Reynolds was telling me about that. Yeah. Like his, like when he did his, like he saw it and he saw in their hands these tubes, and I'm like, what?
That's so crazy to me, man. Put me under.
Yeah. Well,
I know
you can't see it, and it's numb. So I mean, you can feel a little tugging occasionally.
Yeah.
Occasionally, mine would start. I would start wearing off, and I'd be like, whoa.
Ooh.
And she's like, well, let me just give you a little shot here. Like they do another little shot and would numb it.
Damn, that's crazy. So you could actually feel some of that going on.
You can feel more of the tugging, but mm-hmm. I would start feeling something was going on. And like, I'm sure, like, you know, I'm feeling a little pinching, and I'm sure they're like stabbing it. So you're like, you don't feel the full sensation. Right. but you know, I mean, it takes them like 30, 40 minutes of procedure, and talking.
She asked me,
cause I told her I started using the preliminary exam joke, a joke in my set. And she's like, so what are the jokes? Well, so I'm telling her my set for what I do about this.
Yeah.
It
is like,
and I was focusing on like, I think the volume's there, so you don't. I was like, don't get an erection.
Yeah.
Don't get an erection. That was a fear. I mean, they're gonna be that handling it, right?
You know, that's interesting because it's like, what if you actually hit a good punchline and they start laughing and they accidentally snip something that they shouldn't have? You know what I mean?
Oh, how'd you become impotent? Comedy. I made a joke. It's too good.
They cut off my whole dick on accident.
But I got him. But I got the laugh. The important thing.
It was worth it. Oh my God. That's hilarious.
So now I'm on Vicodin right now because there's a lot of swelling.
And yeah.
It's like, I can't lift over 15 pounds right now.
Okay.
For like three days.
Okay. I think I had
Oxycodone.
Yeah. Or it must have been a lesser version of it. But when I tore my Achilles, literally they were like, it did nothing for me. I still felt the sensation of like my ankle and my like calf pulling on this like cord that just was reattached.
Wait, as they were?
No, afterwards.
Afterwards.
Yeah. I was out.
Did you call to get more or?
No, I just was like, fuck it.
Really?
Yeah, I took a couple of them and they just didn't really work. And I didn't want to take like three or four. So.
When I did, when I got my wisdom teeth taken out,
mm-hmm.
I remember I called because I'm like, I'm in so much pain, mm-hmm. and they had given me like Vicodin, and
yeah.
I was like, I feel like nothing,
yeah.
And so they're like, well, okay. So they prescribed like Percocet or something for
me.
Shit. So then I did Percocet, and then that like kept it at bay.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember like when it wore, like I realized when the pain went away.
Yeah.
Really? Because, you know, the Percocet is just barely keeping me, like it was like still aching kind of.
Right.
And I remember we were going to the grocery store, and I got out of the grocery store and I was like, whoa! And I just started laughing and I was like, oh, I think the pain's gone. But the Percocet's still in me. Because that was so high. Like,
it's so funny though. It's like, I'm with you though. I don't really enjoy being high. It's such a weird thing.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm cloudy. Like,
yeah.
My head's cloudy right now.
I don't like
being really having to concentrate about what I'm
what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the words. Cause I'm like, what are words? What's a word to say this? And I like feeling smart.
Yeah.
And I don't. I feel so dumb right now.
Right.
And I just,
man.
Like, it's all I can do to just concentrate and not be like, man, let's eat chow mein. I don't have chow mein. Well, let's get some chow mein.
Let's fucking make some chow mein in here. It's so funny to me because all I remember right before they put me under for my ankle was they were like, all right, you're going to hear some Shakira music playing in the background. I don't know why doctors always like to have their music on. Yeah, it's so strange.
And
so,
Shakira?
Who's Shakira, right?
I don't want you shaking.
That's what I'm like, saying, right?
Calming.
And so like literally they were like, okay, we're going to inject you with this stuff. And then I remember I like started fading, and then like I pictured myself as this floating ball in the universe, and I was like, oh, I never really existed as a human being. And I was like, oh shit. And I got sad. I was like, I loved my mom. She was awesome. I really liked all my friends, and I'll never see them again. And this wasn't ever real. Fuck. And then like I woke up, it was probably like 10 seconds. And I was like, oh shit. I was like, that was crazy. And they were like, that's not even the craziest part. And then I started hearing the music. It was like, Shakira, Shakira. And then it was like, Shakira, 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 Shakira. And then I was out. It was like, what
wow.
the fuck? I don't do well on drugs. I was freaking out.
I did. The only time I've been out was, and it was still a light sedative, was when I had a hernia.
Okay.
And they did the countdown.
Yeah.
And that just amazes me how
just
out.
You're just out. It was so crazy. And I remember like, in the recovery room, I kept making this joke. I was like, you guys gave me a vagina instead of repairing my ankle. And then they were like, you've told us that joke 3 times now. It's like, it's still good though, right? They're like, yeah, it's all right.
Wait, was this when you were young?
Yeah, no, this is when I was like 23, 24.
Oh, but you weren't a comic yet.
I wasn't a comic yet, you know, I just tried to be the funny guy in the room.
Yeah.
And so, it was wild, man.
Were you always the funny guy in the room or the one trying to make a joke?
Yeah, you know, I was that guy in class where it was like, yeah, I probably made some of my teachers' lives harder than they needed to be. But I also, like, I remember 6th grade, I was getting great grades, but I wouldn't shut the fuck up. And my mom was like, you know what? If I have to come down to that school, take the day off, I'm going to sit next to you in class and embarrass the shit out of you. And I was like, okay. And then she actually did. And it was awful, man. But I feel like I was kind of... Once I got into drama, it let me know that I could do this during drama, and then I could just be normal during class. So, yeah. What about you? Were you the?
I wasn't the class clown, but I definitely encouraged the class clowns. Or like, I feel like I gave them material,
right?
And they ran with it.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, I'm writing already. That's how I was writing. I liked we had audio visual class, AV class.
Yeah.
I would have taken sooner, but when I wanted to sign up for it, the people told me, oh, dude, only losers take that. That's where the losers play. I was like, oh, I don't want to be a loser.
Dude, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, and so then junior year, I took it.
Yeah.
For some reason, a bunch of us took it, and a couple of popular kids, like, signed up for it.
Oh, hell yeah.
And it became the shit.
Like, right.
Everybody wanted to be in it.
Right.
Like, when I went back a couple of years after I graduated, it was, they had to have 2 sections of it. So many people wanted it.
Yeah.
Like, everybody was doing it, because they realized... We got on there, and then suddenly we were like, we were on TV.
Right.
Like, our local cable access was ran through the school.
No joke.
Yeah. So that's what was airing. So people would see us, and people realized, oh, you can just be on TV.
Dude, like this. Right.
And so
it's so wild.
Popular.
It's wild to me how a lot of our, like, going for something was hindered by, like, bullies in school just being like, oh, you're going to be a fucking loser and do drama?
It wasn't even bullies. It was just the average person. Like, the person who told me only losers do that,
yeah,
I thought they were kind of a loser, right? So I was like, oh, if they look down on them, shit, that must be the worst. And granted, there were the the people that had been there the longest were like that. They were the Dungeons and Dragons kids who wore trench coats all the time.
You're right, right, right.
So they, I mean, they're the people who I now want to hang out with.
Right.
Like, I wasn't into Dungeons and Dragons. I mean, I actually played with those guys once, but they kind of scared me. And so I stopped playing because I was like, you guys are a little intense about this. But they're definitely people I would be more likely friends with now than, you know, any of the jockey people.
Totally.
Or whatnot. But yeah, I would have started in that sooner. If that hadn't happened.
Yeah. It's but you know, I think everything happens in its own time and you know,
but I wasn't the clown though, so I wasn't that, but I definitely got it out doing the hosting of that. And we had some creative funny things that we did do in the class.
Did you ever do any sports in high school?
I sat on the bench a lot, yeah.
But were you like
soccer bench? Well, I only started doing it because my good friend did it. Like my best friend in high school was really into sports, and so then I was like, oh, I'll do that.
Yeah, you know, try to do soccer.
But the problem is, and basketball and everything, but the problem was I hadn't been playing.
Right.
So I wasn't good at it, you know, or all my friends, they played, you know, they all played, they get together, play basketball. Playing basketball. And the truth was, I wanted to be one of the kids just, like, inside playing the video games, or I would have liked to do Dungeons and Dragons and that kind of thing. Yeah. That was my true self. And it wasn't like I didn't get good at sports at all until like
after
college.
Yeah.
And then I came back and I was like, oh, now I get it. Like suddenly things were clicking in my head.
It's so interesting. It's like, I think, you know, I mean, there's so many parents who push their kids and they're like, oh, you need to do this. You need to do this. You need to do this. And then, you know, you find yourself playing for like 10 years of your life. And I'm just like, man, but yeah, soccer, like I played that for forever, and then when I got into high school, for some reason I shied away from soccer and tried to do baseball and basketball. That was it. But Women's World Cup, man.
Huh?
Women's World Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, transition.
Huh? Yeah.
Did you watch it?
I watched the highlights. Holy shit.
I started watching the second half of the game because I had forgotten it was on, and I was
what was
watching
the score at halftime?
At halftime it was like 7, right?
Oh, okay.
Seven
or 8. And it ended at 12, right?
13-0. But I was watching it and I was like, oh, I didn't save the, I should have recorded this for Gretchen. And then I started messaging and you're like, dude, this game is bad.
Yeah.
Like they're destroying them. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. It's
and the thing is, so I know not all our listeners watch soccer because people make fun of it, but
soccer's
like,
amazing.
I love soccer, and the scoring in that, for one, it's your total goals matter down the road for any tiebreakers.
Oh, okay.
So
that's smart.
So yeah, so you got to run it up, like you can't hold back. And one, like people said, oh, well, they should have backed off or something, and like, how would that be? Would that be humiliating the other people? Like, oh, you know what? We're not even going to try to score now because, you know, we're so much better. Like,
you have to, you know, especially on that stage.
Now have you seen the backlash about them celebrating the goals?
No.
Right. So there's people been saying like, well, they shouldn't have been celebrating that hard. Like, you know, once it's like 8-0, you shouldn't be jumping up and down.
But like, how many people have scored a goal in a World Cup?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
That was the point. Like, oh my God, this person scored a goal. Grant, somebody scored 4 goals, right?
Yeah.
But a hat trick is also a big deal.
It really
is. I got a hat trick in the World Cup.
Right.
And they're celebrating. And the player said something about, I'm not sure the whole history, but it was a big release for them.
Right.
Because they had all this pent up energy because they didn't do well in the last World Cup, I think. No. In the Olympics. In the Olympics, they had the struggles that they shouldn't have lost when they did.
USA has won, the females have won gold in the Olympics, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And they've won the World Cup.
Yeah, with Mia Hamm and all those guys. I remember that back in the day. But I don't think our men have ever done really anything. It's like we're so far behind.
The men didn't even make the World Cup last time. And so.
Jeez.
And I do feel like they would not have said this if it was men's.
Yeah.
I think some will say, like, well, it wouldn't have been 13-0 if it was men. But
But you know, there's some. But here's the thing:
it happens.
It happens, and like, should you really be on that stage if you are getting blown out that much?
Yeah, maybe I mean, not. They were like one of the lowest ranked teams, totally. Right? Playing, but you're there, and you're only going to learn by, you know, maybe you got to get your ass handed totally. To you. To,
like, I don't know if you've heard this, and I don't know if this is true, but there have been like teams that were killed by like certain dictators when they come back because of a loss.
Oh yeah, no, there's been referees. Killed Shit. Because of the call they made.
Damn, that's wild, man.
Referee, there's been a goalie who made mm-hmm. a dumb mistake. Like, yeah. I forget if it was for Brazil.
Oh,
something.
Yeah. And they the, came, and the, came back home yeah, and they yeah, killed
the
him.
The mob, like, killed him.
Yeah, it was, gosh. I forget. It was on
Brazil
Netflix.
Or was it?
No, it was like, I think it was down south. South American country. So, but man, can you imagine that? You're just, ugh.
Like, we think our fans are intense.
Yeah.
In sports. What I like, okay, like I have a neighbor here who mm-hmm. I asked him, like, are you a soccer fan? He's like, I'm not going to share my feelings about soccer here. Like,
like he's voting or something. I don't want to talk about who I'm voting for.
Right. But what was funny to me is like, wait, are you going to say, like, some people have an attitude about how dumb soccer is. They think, oh, it's so dumb. I'm like, it is literally the most popular sport
right.
in the world.
Exactly.
Everyone loves it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, maybe y'all need to look inside yourself.
You think about it, though, and I wonder, does it come from a standpoint of that USA isn't good at it? So
possibly.
But also baseball's kind of fallen off. Baseball used to be the national, you know, sport, and it, now it's
a little national nap time.
Yeah, man. Seriously. And okay. It's more football now.
I like about soccer is I think it is a purest form of a sport,
right?
Because it is about this ball, getting
right.
this ball into a goal, and that's mm-hmm. it. The rules are there's rules around it, but like, you know, you score a goal, it's 1 point. That's it, right? It's not okay.
Six.
If you score a point, you get 6 points. But then if you score right after that, like you get 2 points.
Right.
Or if you, you know, decide to kick it, you'll get 1 point.
Right.
Now, other times, if you kick it, you get three.
Right.
Right. So, and what happens if we score my own goal? Like,
right.
Or they score my own goal. Well, that's a safety. Okay. There's all these complicated sports and runs. Yes, we have offsides, but not the way. There's no illegal formations.
You do bring up an interesting point because I took my wife's host parents from the Czech Republic that she lived with to a baseball game, and trying to explain that shit was the toughest thing I've ever had to do.
A baseball game?
Just a baseball game. You know, you would think that it makes sense, but they were asking me questions like, why can't they run the other way? Why was there an infield fly? I was like, well, I mean, I guess that makes sense. You know, and it's like,
It's a very complicated.
It is. There's a lot of rules.
There's all these rules. Oh, no. Right. If you look up the rules section, there's 13 rules in soccer, essentially.
Yeah.
The 13 laws of soccer.
Offsides.
Some of those rules include how many players are on.
Right.
What the field is supposed to look like.
Totally.
Right?
The dimensions. And, yeah.
Those are some of the laws.
Right.
Basically, it's fucking... You kick it.
Exactly.
Kick it and score a goal.
Right.
This isn't complicated.
Don't slide tackle from behind. You know what I mean? And
yeah, safety.
Safety. Yeah. So, and I mean, you think about it, it is. It truly is its purest form. It's literally, I mean, as long as you don't go off sides, it's literally team versus team, the best team you can build, going after each other. So, I think that it's, I don't know why it won't pick up in the U.S. I think it's growing, but... You know,
why can't we need more complications?
Yeah, seriously, who got to have like a death rule or something like the team like who loses get like a player gets killed or something? Then people
and we like big scores.
We do, and you know what was interesting about soccer though? It's always moving. It's not like football. It's like okay, go stop.
I've been to two Seahawks games.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't like about it is how. The ball can be on the other side of the field for like 40 minutes.
Right. And you're not seeing.
Nothing's happening. Over there. Looks great. You know, you don't feel that way. Wherever your seats are in a soccer game, it goes back and forth so much that you don't feel it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you look up and it's like, damn, we're already at halftime. You know, it's like you're engaged the whole time just following. And you're like, oh, they almost missed. Oh, they almost made it. You know, and it's like.
You can go to the bathroom during a football game. Right. Like, I'm gonna run, grab something, and come, and you could not miss a play.
Exactly.
Oh no, then there was a timeout.
There was a commercial break.
Substitute people. Yeah. People trip out when they find out soccer players. Mm-hmm. You can have three subs in a game, the whole game.
That is wild.
Three subs. That's it.
That's wild.
Oh, they're like, what happens if someone gets hurt after you've subbed all? Then you're short a player.
Yeah. That's why you got to save them for the end, man.
Yeah. You got to be. It's very strategic. Damn.
It's so interesting because even with basketball, I mean, for me, basketball is like the reason I enjoy it now as opposed to back in the like 90s. I mean, it was fun in the 90s with like Jordan and all these guys, but it's like watching Steph Curry and some of these guys just throw this thing from like fucking 40 feet back and put it through this tiny hole. I'm like, dude, you got my attention. So, yeah. And it's back and forth. And so, but goddamn, you Warriors.
Have you seen that? There's a little sketch about Jordan versus LeBron's. Who's the.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it has, what's his face?
Takes place at a barbershop.
Takes place in a barbershop. Yeah. And it has, what's his face in it? From America's Got Talent, Preacher Lawson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Preacher's just like, you know, then somebody brings up Kobe and they like both laugh at him.
Yeah.
And so it was a good little sketch. I do love with your ball thing. The balls,
Barbers.
Yeah, with the balls barbershop thing that you sent us. There was like a Comedy Central sketch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that thing was amazing. Did you watch it?
I'm trying to remember what I like exact. I'm high. Right
yeah,
now,
yeah. So okay. So the concept was, you know how women go in for waxing.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah. Comedy Central does these fake documentaries.
Right.
So it's about like ball grooming, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. That was.
It was
funny.
Good.
I'm high. I'm trying to remember things. Like, I'm in the present.
Totally. No, it was good though, man.
Those are sketches also like, wish I had thought of that.
Totally.
That'd be a fun.
I know. Yeah. And it's just like, just writing it down real quick, going, writing a script and filming it. I mean, you did it with the Flat Earther. So it's just doing more of those. Once
that took time. That took a lot of time, but it's one day of filming. Yeah.
Totally.
But
then you have to edit too. So, I mean,
Have we talked about your acting class?
I don't think we have.
Yeah, yeah. You've been doing an acting class over the last month, right?
Yeah. So that was it was intense. I went in with the mindset, I'm gonna crush this. This is gonna be easy.
Did you?
No, not at all.
No, I mean, did you really think that?
I did. Yeah, yeah. I thought I was like, this won't be too hard. I just have to find a way to be me on film, and I do that with comedy every day, right?
Yeah.
But then I go up there, and I'm like, fuck! I'm staring down this barrel, and there's all these people staring at me, and it's just like all eyes on me. Which is what we do in comedy, but it was a whole different, like, first acting class was like, okay, you're going to pretend like the Geico Gecko is here. You're going to be texting, and then all of a sudden you're going to look up, and you're going to see him, and then you're going to do a double take. You're like, oh, shit, that's the Geico Gecko. And just trying to embody what that whole interaction would be was like, you know, you're trying to have this make-believe thing here. You're trying to have a make-believe person that you're like, did you see this shit?
Yeah.
That was weird. And so I failed at that. The next week, we were just memorizing a short little like commercial about TiVo, you know, and when was TiVo like popular? So you're trying to think of how to, and it's interesting because they were like, pretend like you're talking to your best friend about it. So like David and Angela were like, pretend like you're talking to Silas, you know, and you're amped up.
The teachers are David Hogan and Angela
DeMarco. Yeah, yeah. And they're
just when we say Dave and Angela.
I know. Yeah. You start thinking about
Laughs. It's not Laughs Comedy Club. This is two different people. Guests.
Okay. Totally. So so I'm sitting there and, you know, the whole week I'm thinking more the commercial should be like, what would Robert Downey Jr. do? What would Michael B. Jordan do? They're trying to pitch this to a person, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, why did I get TiVo? You know what it is? There's just so many silly things on TV today. And frankly, I don't have time for it. And, you know, so
yeah,
I'm thinking I would deliver it more like, you know, the suave guy. Why did I get TiVo? You know?
Yeah.
And they were like, no, we want you to be more energetic and happy. And I'm like, okay. So, yeah. I mean, you only get two shots at it a lot of times if you're auditioning. So it was.
If that.
Yeah. Sometimes they're just like, you're done.
All right. Yeah. Good.
Next.
Yeah. Like, oh. Oh.
And it's so funny though. It's just like, you don't realize how hard it is until you step into that. And one for me, memorizing the words and then embodying the character, two completely different things, right? And sometimes it's not even really about, I mean, some directors want you to memorize it exactly, verbatim.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so important to just know where you're coming from as an actor. Like, what is this character feeling? And also, like, when I chose my monologue for the final piece, I didn't really choose a great one. And I think it could have worked, but I shouldn't have chose a 50-year-old Italian mobster.
Yeah.
I should have probably just gone with the Michael B. Jordan character of, I was going to do Fruitvale Station.
Okay.
Where he was like, he just got out of jail and he was trying to get his job back at the grocery store. And he was like, hey, Jimmy, man, can you hook me up with my job? You know, is it possible? Can I get back on? He's like, hey, man, I can't do it. And he's like, so should I just wait for you in your parking lot, bruh? Should I just wait for you after work, huh? You know what I mean? And just something that's closer to something I know,
yeah,
as opposed to something that I'm completely not. So not that it can't be done, but just.
I was like, is there a, what about the Denzel mafia?
Well, that's the other thing I was thinking about. I was thinking about, should I be Frank, what's his name from American Gangster? Or should I also wanted to do the John Q one, but do I really look like somebody's dad at this point?
Yeah.
I guess so. Maybe I am looking that
old.
Old enough, yeah, to have like a little kid, you know? And, but it was like, I think that's another thing too, is like choosing a monologue is so difficult because I feel like I shouldn't, like you were saying, don't watch the movie before because you're just going to try to embody that.
Yeah.
Exactly. So maybe just sometimes even find a Shakespearean one and, you know, or from a play, or
there's a lot of plays,
stuff
that you can pick from that are modern and
totally,
you know, you got 6 degrees of separation.
Mm-hmm. But it was a great class. You know, they show you just different actors' takes on certain.
Did you guys do any scenes?
We did, like,
with other people.
Oh no, that's a class two. That's the next one that's coming up in August. Okay. So that one's going to be more across the table.
And I think I want. That's what I want.
Yeah, yeah. So
I'll do that with scenes with somebody.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you've already done your STD commercial, which was great.
Huh?
Didn't you do that one where you were in bed with somebody? Or
well, that wasn't a commercial.
Oh, it
that
was like an awareness.
Yeah, awareness campaign. And if you're in the Washington D.C. area, you may have seen my face as of STDs and AIDS. And
Jesus. Oh,
trying
man.
Trying to present it.
You're right.
I was bisexual in one.
You're right.
It was just a lot of. But we did all these videos, but what's funny is like they were taking stills.
Oh, okay.
So they were just going to take a still from the action.
Yeah.
And then do it. And
you didn't have a shirt on, right?
Right. I had lost weight.
No. I'm not saying. I was just.
Some of it.
Did you shave your chest for it or did you?
No.
Okay.
I'm a man.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what? Man has chest hair. Manly.
Man's have right. chest hairs.
Man has chest hairs. You know, I'm like, it's not bald. I'm not a baby. Babies don't have chest hair.
Oh, man.
But the film, I think the film, it's going to be, I think it's a good class that you took before we do this. Because many
hour.
Of you know we're doing the 48-hour film project this summer.
Yeah,
and then hopefully shoot something else, too.
Yeah, but, totally. This Indiegogo thing's been interesting.
Yeah, fundraising. So we're doing a fundraiser, if you don't know. You can check it out at blackandhalf.com/fundraiser.
22% of the way there.
Yeah, we're 22% to our $1,000 goal.
Thank you so much for everybody.
Yeah, all the backers. We'll name you when it's time.
Yeah.
Once we cash that check. you know, and it goes to this one is just going to feed people,
right.
Rent equipment.
We can't pay.
The entry fee alone is $150.
Right.
So we've covered that now.
Right. Right.
Right. So now
totally.
I get paid back for that.
Yeah.
And now we got to get money to feed people. Now here's what I get torn with it. One of the reasons I want to do the Indiegogo is because as you get bigger, you end up having to fundraise more and do these bigger things.
Can they see what you've done in the past? Or
well, yeah. And that's the thing is that they need to show that you've done successful ones in the past.
Right.
People tend to like that more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, do they finish it and do another project? So that's why it's important. So one person sent me $10.
Okay.
For the fund. They didn't want to go through Indiegogo.
Yeah, yeah.
For some reason.
Okay.
Like, okay. You know, it does help me to like show toward that goal. So I don't know, like, now do I just pay the $10 so that
right.
I can, you know, but then they're taking a percentage from it. So
yeah.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I'll just hold on to the 10,
there
throw it
go.
In there for the,
yeah,
buy some rice.
There you go. The, yeah. Yeah. For the yeah.
But. Okay, so I get that for the future. I don't necessarily like I feel, you know, like I make fun of digital begging all the time because like people are like, oh, I got to get my car fixed. I mean, and there is a degree that I feel like we're doing that. Even though we are here and we're offering like, you know, at the $20 level, you can put your name will appear in credits.
Right.
So, you know, thanking you for that. So I like that. We just talked. We haven't put it up on the Indiegogo yet, but of offering up like a comedy show. Like we'll go in your house and do a comedy show at, I think it's the 200 or 250 level.
Yes.
And then above that, you know, it'll be included. I like that because it's like, oh, you're just kind of paying us in advance for something.
Right.
And it's going to go to this cause.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I do feel uncomfortable somewhat telling people, hey, can you come help me do this thing and pay some money for it? Right.
Yeah.
I mean, especially nowadays, everyone wants everything free. You know, they don't even want to pay to go see the movie they want. They're like, how can I download this and see it for free? Dude, I don't want to pay for a thing that I like.
It's rough because you're also competing with people who for their birthdays are saying, hey, send all this money to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. You know, so it's like,
I didn't do that.
Yeah, I know.
No, buy me some wine. Everyone's trying to raise money.
Everybody.
Since it started at the grocery store, right?
Yeah.
When they're like, do you want to
donate a dollar to
me? Yeah. Do you want to help feed children? I'm like, I'm at a grocery store. You fucking feed the children.
Seriously,
you got all this stuff here.
Exactly. This is about to expire.
Why do I have to buy it for you to donate it? This is ridiculous. Oh,
that shit is hilarious. Yeah, seriously. It's like, would you like to feed the children for a dollar? You're like, no.
No.
You're like, you piece of shit human being. You like every and the people behind you in line look at you like you're a piece of shit.
Oh, and did you want to donate a dollar for homeless? Yeah, can we not say this out loud? I'm going to start asking them.
Yeah.
When I get up there, like, hey, oh, by the way, do you want to donate a dollar before you ring this up to my 48-hour film project? We're going to have black people in it.
Yeah, exactly. You're not supporting?
Reparations.
Yeah, not supporting the black community? Oh, okay. All right.
Jim, last year there was only, there was two groups of primarily black people.
Really?
Our group and one other one.
Damn.
We won an award. They didn't. But
just added but
I think there was a Latin, like a lot of Latinos in one group.
Wait. Did you say in Aladdin?
No, a Latin.
Oh,
a Latin.
I thought you were talking about the cast of Aladdin majority Latino.
Well, they no, I said Latin because I'm high, and then I meant a Latino group or Latinx.
Right.
Okay. A group last year, but it is primarily like 76 groups.
Yeah.
And they're like 73 white people, like 73 white groups, you know?
Oh my God.
So it is, it was one of the few. And I do find this interesting. You know, people say like, hey, let's support, black filmmakers. Let's go see Black Panther.
Yeah.
Black Panther. Yeah, do that. I'm like, hey, so we're a local black film. Do you want to help support that? No,
we're good.
No.
Yeah.
That's,
and here's the thing, when you look at it all at the grandest level, black people weren't at the top getting paid. You know what I mean? Like, there may be a lot of black actors who got paid, but Disney made billions off of that. You know what I mean? And those execs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong.
I don't think Black Panther was created by a black person.
I don't think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's just like how Cleveland on Family Guy really isn't a black
person.
No.
No?
Swear to God. I think, yeah.
Oh, he's like doing black voice?
Yeah, he is. Hold on. I need to confirm this.
Black voice.
Yep.
What do you think? Okay, there's a local comic people are getting mad about.
Mm-hmm.
A local open mic guy.
Oh, I heard about this, right? This is he was doing like a black.
He puts a black paper bag over his head and does like a Louis Armstrong impersonation.
Ooh.
And then people got mad. He's like, what, guys? I'm just doing bag face.
Okay. So it bombs though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let him bomb. Who gives a shit?
Right.
Yeah.
So, but there's people trying to ban him from everywhere for doing horrible jokes. Excuse me. And my thing is, I don't even know.
That's Cleveland's voice, white guy.
Okay. Mike Henry. White guy.
Taking acting Seriously. Jobs from black people. That's all right.
I don't like the, I don't know. If someone's a rapist,
yeah,
I think they should get banned.
Totally.
Like, because they're dangerous for everybody. But I don't know if they're just an awful comic, an awful racist comic, if they should necessarily be banned.
Yeah, that's
I do think it's going to, It's going to sort himself out. I want to see how long they're going to go before they just stop doing comedy.
Yeah.
I don't want them to stop and like, well, I was so controversial and on the edge, they had to ban me.
Right, right? Exactly.
No, I want them to be like, no, I bombed every show I did for 6 months. So
yeah,
now I'm
not a comic.
Now I'm not a comic. But yeah, anymore. Like I tried and I failed.
I'm with you. It's really one of those things of like, I really like, I don't give a shit. Like, yeah, do it. I mean, I've heard Morgan Preston say the N-word on stage. It doesn't get a laugh.
Yeah.
And then he bombs. And I'm like, yeah. He learned. Okay. You know, so he doesn't do this shit anymore.
Right.
So, yeah.
It's, yeah, you know, it's weird. I think, I understand people don't want it and they don't want it in their room. Like,
right.
I don't want that in my room. Okay. And, you know, and I'm not against the premise of like the comedy nest.
Totally.
Where they're like no misogyny and stuff. In fact, there's some places I wish people would have more rules.
Yeah.
Like about like, all right, no jokes about pot. Why? Because I'm sick of them.
Right.
Everyone has the same joke. Just don't do one here.
Totally.
Like I don't mind necessarily mind the restrictions to that sense, but I feel uncomfortable messaging other people and asking them to please ban this comic.
This guy, exactly.
Like, let's
I mean,
not.
That's the thing. I mean,
martyr
shit,
him.
I'm sure you could.
They're martyring him to all the right wingers.
Exactly.
Crazy.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it kind of goes back to we got to stop policing every single fucking thing. It's just like.
It's exhausting.
It is. And
I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm old. I was like, you know what? Advocacy is definitely for the young.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they need to be out there protesting and doing things.
Totally.
Because right now, I've hit a point where I'm like, yeah, I'm really against that.
Yeah.
Oh, but I have some gardening I need to get
yeah,
done.
Yeah, totally. I was like, I have a PlayStation game that I could be saving the world
oh,
at.
Oh, I'm like, it's for the young. I got to do it because I am like, I don't mean to be indifferent. I'm not. I'm passionate about these things, but I got a new bonsai and I want to take care of it. You know, I want to see.
Dude, like, it is like, I don't think people realize though, just how, I mean, you know, you can't let, you know, the world die from like hatred, you know?
Yeah.
And like, it's very important to get out there and say something about all these wrongdoings. But when you're telling everybody what they need to be like, it, you know, I think that there can be some extremists on the left, just like there's extremists on the right. You know, it's like, you can be overly anti, you know, like liberal.
The overwoke
people. And it's like, it's okay to feel some sort of way. But when you start telling everybody, like when you start getting people fired from Evergreen for their job, you know, for having a difference of opinion.
I mean, that is rough. I don't like people getting people fired.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless they're, yeah, if they're racist and they're not giving black people A's because they're racist, that's different.
Yeah.
That's using your authority. But if they just happen to be racist and they don't, you know, they don't go into places because of the black bar.
Right.
Like, okay. Like, fine. They're racist. I remember I was talking how my daughter, 12-year-old, all their friends, like, they have identities. Like,
yeah.
I was like, they're like, oh, this person is binary, non-binary. This person's bisexual. And I remember like if you were a boy when I was in sixth grade and a boy who'd said that they were like bisexual, they would have been shunned.
Oh my gosh.
And now they're just like, oh no, that's cool.
That's
and
what I love.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's totally awesome.
Totally.
But like there is now like I learned a while ago about pony play.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what pony play is?
Uh-huh.
It's when somebody wants to,
they want to play with a pony or
no, the sexual fantasy they have is to be a pony.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And they want to get ridden
and
harnessed and stuff. It's true. And apparently now there's also puppy play where you like to act like a puppy
and
get on
just
all fours and like get petted. And it is a sexual thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And you know, I'm like, I'm learning way too much about people. And here's what I wondered, like, I feel like, what happens if you get put in that? Like, let's say, because you change, things change. And I wouldn't want to, like, tell everybody, oh, no, I'm really into puppy play.
Right.
Because for 6 months of my life, you know, you liked it. And if everyone told you you were weird.
Yeah.
And then, like, month 7, you're like, you know, I don't like that anymore. But I can't let, I don't want Dave to think that I would like he was right and it was just a phase. Right?
And I got
to
stick
so
with
now
it.
I'm stuck. I'm puppy play from now on. Like, I think you used to, I feel like, what happened to not want, like, I remember the whole thing, love is love.
Yeah.
That was a thing 5 years ago. Love is love. It doesn't matter who you mm-hmm. love. Like, it shouldn't even be an issue. Yeah.
Right.
But now we've got not only love is love, but now everyone wants to specify what they're into.
Yeah.
And, like, that's it forever. Instead of it being, like, a ebb phase. And flow in your life.
Totally.
I think it's okay to have a phase.
Yeah.
Like, why can't we have phase, like, hey, I'm really into bonsais right now, but
yeah.
you know, in a year, I might be into frogs.
Totally,
I
yeah.
don't know.
I mean,
but I don't want to be labeled as the bonsai guy forever totally. Until I've done it. Like, if that's what I've committed to,
right?
Right.
For the longest time, I was a huge Xbox fan, and then all of a sudden, I was like, you know what? I'm done with Xbox. I want to just be a PlayStation guy. And then now, I don't even play video games. So you go through phases in life, you know.
And can it be like, oh? Oh, what if you're into butts?
Yeah.
Right? You're into butts for yeah, 6 years.
You're a butt guy.
And then you're like, you know what? Butts don't do it for me anymore.
Yeah.
But totally. Everyone's going to be like, nah, he's
no,
an ass
no,
guy.
Yeah. He always loved butts.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I just feel like I want you to feel like I just feel like it should be whatever.
Yeah.
Like whatever. And we don't have to label.
Yeah. You could be a naturist for a week. You know what I mean? And like, you just want to make love. Have you heard about these people who make love to nature?
What?
Yeah.
Do you find like a hole in a tree?
I guess so. Or you just rub yourself in the dirt and like it's.
Wait, this is a thing?
This is a thing. All right, let me see if that's the name of it.
Does it even need a level? Like, why does it need a label? I mean.
Hold on, let me see.
Didn't we just used to call that, like, yo, he gets freaky?
Right.
That's what they used to say. He gets freaky. Oh, yeah. You know, Manny, he gets freaky.
Right.
You didn't have to label him as a.
Yeah.
I'm a tree.
I think that's
humper.
What it's called.
A tree stumper?
No, see,
you a know, stump humper.
It's
a stump humper.
It's so interesting because it's like, I typed it in. I was like, naturist, and then it just pulls up all this weird stuff. So.
Yeah, I just don't want.
I mean, whatever.
I wish we could just, why can't we just say, you know what? People love whatever they're into.
Totally.
Instead of labeling,
yeah.
like, I don't even know what pansexual is now. I thought that's where you just love whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, I thought that was bi.
Yeah. I mean, there's asexual where you just want to have sex with yourself. There's all kind of stuff.
I thought that was where you don't like sex.
I think asexual is sex with yourself.
See, this is the problem. I'm so confused.
There's so
now.
Many terms, you know.
Because if you're asexual in nature, I thought that meant you breed yourself.
Asexuality is a lack of sexual attraction to others or low or absent interest in or desire for sexual activity. It may be considered a sexual orientation or the lack thereof.
Didn't they just used to call that frigid?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I guess that's negative.
Yeah. I don't know.
Shouldn't be negative if you live in the wintry area.
Yeah. Oh, I think Alexa was trying to.
Oh. I love that. I love that when I'm just like talking and suddenly.
Should we ask her?
What does it say? It said, okay, well, I'll be here when you need me. Yeah, so someone thought I said something about
her
name.
It's probably, hold on. Alexa, what is asexuality?
Hey, if you didn't hear that, sexual character, possession of the structural and functional traits of sex. Oh, a sexual character.
Oh,
it didn't catch
it didn't,
her.
Yeah,
asexual.
Yeah, asexual. Okay. Whatever.
Alexa's a punk sometimes.
She is. Know? I like my Google a little bit better because Google will dive into like Wikipedia and pull up the, here's what I found on Wikipedia.
Like, you know what? Yeah. I'm going to look into this. I don't have the answer on my tips, but I'm going to find out.
Yeah, totally. It digs in. It's, you know, and I can also stream like videos from my phone to my
Wouldn't
Google.
It be great if it did research and came back and said, you know what? Let me look at that.
Yeah.
And like 3 days later, it's like,
had like a bug
hey, man,
yeah.
yo, I got that information for you on
astrophysicists.
I now know what dildos do. And you're like, Crystal's like, what? Like, no, I did not say dildos.
No.
I said flamingos. Flamingos, Alexa.
No, you ruined my marriage, you mother. Oh my God. Ugh.
What if you're, oh. Movie idea.
Yeah.
Your Alexa starts falling in love with you. and then starts trying to ruin your marriage. Right?
That would be hilarious.
Messing with you, like
there was a wasn't there a movie
a call from Chantrell?
You're right, was it?
Wait, that was your ex girlfriend. What are you talking about?
That would actually be a great Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah,
man. Yeah. Oh, dude, we should shoot
jealous.
Or gets jealous, and then it's just like literally when Gretchen leaves the house, she's like, Silas, you know you want me. You know, I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? You don't even have a...
Where do I put it?
She sends a robot to the house.
A new Alexa. There is Alexa, like, accessories. Like, you can get the buttons.
Oh, really?
Like a game show. I just haven't found anything to use it with. Yeah. But they sold them. Yeah. So I'm like, I bought them because I was excited. But I'm like, I don't know what to play.
That might be fun for
a
family game night or something.
Yeah, if I knew what game to play it with.
Well, speaking of games, did you go... so you didn't watch any of
E3? That's the electronic convention.
Exposé.
No, what's the 3 stand for?
Because there's 3 E's. It's the Electronic Entertainment Exposé or something like that.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
I was confused because I was like, it's not third quarter, but it's not third quarter of the year.
No, yeah.
So... Electronic Entertainment Exposition?
See.
Expo?
Yeah, Electronic Entertainment Expo.
Look at me figuring it out. What was the big news on this one, I think?
So there were a few games that were really big. Did you ever play...
It's not just video games, though, right? Isn't it a lot of stuff?
I feel like it's majority video games, huh? Like,
maybe, because our culture has taken over.
Yeah, I think San Diego Comic-Con's the one where it's like video games and movie stuff.
Everything.
So with this one, they had did you play Breath of the Wild?
The Zelda?
Yeah.
No, I don't have a
Oh, that's right. I took it from you. I bought it from you.
What?
Like, you don't have a Switch?
No, I sold them all.
Oh,
I
nice.
Bought them,
oh,
and okay. I sold them.
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
Great game. So they're coming out with a new the part 2 to Breath of the Wild, which was a great game.
Yeah.
And
did you finish it?
I finished it. It was great. Yeah. So
did you finish the story?
No, I finished the whole thing. Like,
you got 100%?
Well, not 100%. I didn't go do all the side tasks.
Do the errands?
No. Sometimes those errands are
go
just...
get me some milk.
I would really like some milk, sir. I'm like, no, I'm not going to go get
milk
you any
a cow.
Fucking
milk. You have to milk a cow.
Then they came out with, there's going to be 2 new Marvel Avengers games. So there is going to be Ultimate Alliance for the Switch, which is like every X-Men character, every, you know, Iron Man, Spider-Man.
What kind of game?
So did you ever play any of the Ultimate Alliances? Where
no,
it's
I don't,
okay.
I don't know
so basically it's a 4-player, like, well, I think you can play 4 players, but if not, it's you and 3 CPU, you know, people, and it's going up against these different, you know, levels, bosses, whatever. And certain teams take on different characteristics. If you pick all 4 of the Fantastic Four, you guys are amped up. If you pick some of the X-Men, then you're X-Men. If you do Justice, or not Justice League, if you do Avengers, you have a small Avengers team, right?
Okay.
So it's pretty cool. And then they have an actual one for PS4 that is, it looks kind of shitty. Like, the hair looks all like fake on Thor. And,
okay.
You know, so. But the big one that I was kind of excited for, which I don't know if I'll get it, maybe wait for it to go down to like $20, is the new Star Wars game, which is about a character that takes place.
Why would you wait?
I don't know. Like, because I was disappointed with Battlefront 2 a little bit.
Were you?
A little bit.
What were you disappointed about?
I don't know. I think I wanted it to be something else, but it was good enough. Because you know.
I wanted it to be a different game.
I did. Yeah, totally. And I feel like EA lets me down a lot, but this one is also done by EA.
Battlefront had a story mode, though. There was a story on this one.
I enjoyed that, but it was short. It was just a short story mode, you know? So, but you know, I wanted to play more of Luke Skywalker stuff, man, you know. But this one takes place between episodes 3 and 4, so after Order 66.
Okay.
There's a Jedi who's like, just, you know, he survived Order 66, and it's just
I love how many games stories involve someone who got missed.
Totally.
In Order 66. I'm like, they really sucked at Order 66. Like, they left like 800 Jedi.
Totally.
More Jedi than I even knew existed.
Right.
Somehow made it through the purge.
And that's the thing, it's like, where the fuck were you for 4, 5, and 6? You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. Like, you could have been
Jedi
helping Luke.
Gone. Bunch of cowards, man.
Yeah, man.
They got attacked and they all hid.
Sam Jackson wants another go at Mace Windu. So
how?
He just, you know, Jedi's
survived the fall.
Jedi's fall from high heights. You saw him. He jumped off the top of that thing with Dooku.
That's true, but he didn't. I was like,
but he got electrocuted.
Then what did you do?
Yeah.
Fucking, you just sat around?
Well, he was missing a hand.
Take over?
He was just like, you know, what? He lost
Luke was missing a hand. Vader got all his limbs cut off, and he still managed to rule the galaxy.
Yeah, but I mean,
iron fist.
Who knows what?
Electronic fist.
It might be tough to be the only black person in the galaxy. You know what I mean?
It is true.
So, it's like, but this one, I mean, it looks interesting. I'll show you the clip later. But this kid literally is, you know, the narration for the commercial goes, you know, just stay low key, undercover.
Okay.
Don't reach out with the force. You know, don't do any of this stuff. Right. So he's working this like steel mill job, and somebody's about to fall to their death, and he like grabs them with the force, and I think they see him, and then it's just like, fuck, now you're part of the
It's like the X-Men when somebody got discovered.
Totally.
They accidentally used their power.
You're right. Like, and you're like, oh shit, I just
shouldn't have saved anybody.
Tried to do the right thing.
Yeah, that's what happened to Magneto.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He was trying to hide.
And then they killed his whole family.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he saved somebody.
Isn't that crazy?
Don't help people.
Oh my gosh.
That's the lesson of X-Men.
Yeah. Don't just help anybody.
Keep to yourself.
Yeah. So that what do you think about that? That's all done. The whole
I need to see the final one.
Me too.
I haven't seen it
yet. Because
I wanted to not to make it all about me again, my vasectomy, but I was vasectomy.
Yeah. You said it right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought I said vasectomy for a second. I was like,
do you need more painkillers?
No, my titties are fine. my vasectomy. She said I wouldn't be able to sit like at a theater or like.
You sit on this chair.
I know. And that's why I'm confused. Like maybe I'm doing well with the pain or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she said like, no, I wouldn't be able to like go to a soccer game or something. I'd be more afraid of people accidentally hitting me in the nuts.
Yeah, totally. Like I guess my thing for you, I would think, wouldn't you just want to like, I mean, especially with the comfy like AMCs where you got your chair and your recliner?
Yeah, I'm kind of like, well, I want to see this X-Men, last one, and my daughter wants me to see it with her, and I'm only every other week. So if I don't see it this weekend, I got to wait 2 weeks. And from what I heard, I'm not sure it'll be in the theaters.
Then. Right. I'm kind of disappointed. I thought you were going to have this like pee, like the ice, the frozen peas on your balls.
Oh, I did last night.
Oh, okay.
I can't walk around much with them in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like I'm wobbling. and I've got the Vicodin in, so I think it's fine. I don't know.
Right.
Here, let me check my nuts.
There you go.
Okay. So with it being over, well, I'm just glad that it's over so we can see what Marvel is going to do with it.
Yeah.
I hope they don't. I don't know what's going on because I'm not watching trailers. I'm not watching trailers.
Dude, okay? I'm proud of you. Better than me.
So I'm not watching trailers right now, so I don't know what's going on, but I hope that they somehow try to introduce it with the multiverse.
Right.
Because the X-Men can't have been around. Otherwise, they should have been acknowledged in the last, you know, Avengers somehow. Mm-hmm. So they somehow need to get them involved unless they decide that they are not part of this MCU. Unless two MCUs.
I think they'll bring them in eventually, you know. But, yeah, I mean, why weren't you at the final battle?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and also because the way the... Unless they do it that it's like, okay, we're just coming out now.
Right.
We've been hiding this. Maybe S.H.I.E.L.D.'s known about them, but they're not like, they just haven't been able to say anything.
That's
yet
actually smart.
Because they were all kids.
Yeah.
But they can't have been around since the 60s and known about them.
So, I mean, that's the thing. I guess Professor X may have been around for whatever. But I guess there was something like Scarlet Witch. They said at some point she changed, like, in the comic books, at least, she changed the existence of reality with her powers.
Huh.
I don't know.
Well, isn't Scarlet Witch supposed to be an X-Men?
She's supposed to be the daughter of Magneto.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. And so is Quicksilver. So it's
Quicksilver's the daughter of Magneto?
No, he's a... he got killed. So he got killed in the Avengers movie.
Yeah.
But I don't know if this one makes it in
the... So it's the same?
They're the same character.
Same character.
But how do you reset all that? So...
Yeah.
But
I don't know. So I'm interested to see how they bring them in.
Yeah, but I guess they're not even gonna do it in phase 4. It'll probably be like phase 5 or 6. So
they gotta give some breathing room for
you do
it closing.
Yeah.
Because we're like everyone's sick of them.
Yeah.
Fantastic Four, I hope they introduce quicker because there's no like world that they have to establish. It can just be an accident that happens.
And I think with the Fantastic Four, I mean they're kinda like the Marvel family, right? You know, so I mean, the original family. So I would have loved to see Thing versus Thor, Thing versus Hulk at some point, but it's
fight. They can,
but I think it's too late now. He has that kind of disabled arm.
So, who?
Hulk.
He does?
Yeah.
What did I
snapping the?
I don't think that's permanent.
That's what they said. That's what the Russo brothers said. I don't know if they control it. If
they ain't control, they ain't in charge of everything.
If Feige says it, then I believe it. So
Feige?
Yeah, Kevin Feige, isn't that his name?
Oh, yeah. Is he a producer?
Yeah, he's the guy who basically put together the whole Marvel universe.
Oh,
so,
did he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So shout out to
Joss. So Joss, okay, I guess it wasn't Joss's idea.
Joss did some of the movies, but yeah, I think it was Feige who was the like president of it all in season.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, man.
Man, imagine being in charge of that,
dude.
Being in charge of
that's
world building to a whole new level.
I have to send you the actual link to it, but it goes through the whole story of him being like, "Hey, man, I have this great idea. I think we could do with Marvel." He was like a huge fan, and like, you know, he was like, "I think we should start with Iron Man and kind of work from here and
see what happens."
Yeah, see what happens.
Hope he has a cut.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, he didn't even get a cut of it.
Can you imagine that? Just Walt Disney's kids are like, "No, I think we're good. You don't need anything." So. Oh man.
Okay. So I do want to talk about
I want to ask, so what the fuck is homeless RVs?
Oh, because I wrote that now. There's somebody on, do you know Nextdoor? The app or the website Nextdoor. It's where a bunch of neighbors get on and bitch about everything.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So somebody who said something like, "Does anyone know about this RV that's parked on 225th and Edmonds Way?" Mm-hmm. And people are like, "Oh, it's been there several days. Somebody should call the police to have it checked out." And I'm like, and I said, "How about y'all mind your business?" What if, like, you know what? Maybe at least they're not in a tent city. Like, if they are, like, maybe if they're not bothering anybody, you all just leave them alone.
Yeah.
And someone's like, "Oh, well, how about you send us your address and we'll tell them it's okay to park in front of your place?" Like, I said, dude, are they hurting you?
Yeah.
If they're not hurting you, just let them be. It's better if they're not. Is it better for them to be homeless?
Right.
And like out there? And I was just like, look, I know maybe we don't want our streets lined up with RVs, but this guy said, "Oh, well, you know what? I work hard and I do this. And so you would be annoyed too if you had RVs blocking your way."
Does it have your actual name on the thing?
My name's Silas.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well,
I don't give a shit. I'm like, look, we all work hard. I said that, you know what? Totally. We all work hard.
Yeah.
Being homeless isn't exactly like a walk in the park.
There's not a lot of people who are homeless by choice. Right. You know what I mean?
And I'm like, you know, I get it. It's unsightly. I was like, is any more unsightly than all these damn people that have RVs and boats in their
rotted
driveway?
Grass
I mean,
shit.
Well, don't look at my yard. When
no, yours is
that.
Yours. Okay. Is, I was looking at the neighbors over there.
I'm like, can you just relax about somebody?
Yeah.
So they're in the RV outside your house right now. Who cares?
Dude. And so
why do you care?
That's the crazy thing is, on Alki, when I drive down Alki, there's just RVs lined up, right?
Yeah.
But then they're trying to tell people that they can't park their RVs there. And I'm like, well, where the fuck else do you want them to park? They're not hurting anybody. Like,
right.
Give people a place to live. You know?
Yeah. Then you complain about if they're in a tent city, right? So you're like, I don't get this. It's like, you just magically want them to have a place that they can live.
Which I actually
which you can't see.
Thought this might be a good idea, but this is going to sound crazy. What? If I became a billionaire,
right?
You know what I would do?
What?
Buy one of those empty-ass malls that nobody goes to anymore.
Yeah?
And then just put, like, you know, all the stores have bedding in it, and you know what I mean? Oh, like, or cots, and maybe have,
I mean, but those are, like, in Minnesota, right?
Yeah. So,
ship the homeless to Minnesota.
they shipped them from Utah
here. I got
a free
apartment for you.
But I think there has to be Supermall doesn't look like it's doing too well, right? In Auburn. So, I don't know. There's got to be a dead mall here.
You should take those malls. No, yeah. What they need to do, they need to erect a wall around them.
Okay.
And that's where you throw the rapists and the
there you go.
Pedophiles. They all get thrown in there.
That work.
It's like Escape from New York.
You're right, right.
In the middle of the city. And we put cameras around so we can watch them. Right? And they can live stream it, sell commercials. You know, they can today.
Yeah.
I know you're all hungry because there's no food, but today we got for you, brought to you by Nabisco. We're shipping you a whole bunch of dropping in Cheez-Its
in the middle of the mall.
Winner takes all. God. Just go for them. That's what you do. Drop them in there.
But I was just looking. You know, I was looking online. I look at MSN every now and then, and they were just showing all these cities that had these empty malls, and I'm just like, well, fuck. You could probably solve some of the homeless situation. By this, you know, and it sounds horrible, but it's like maybe just have some, you know, police patrolling it and just making sure nobody's doing anything crazy to anybody or hurting anybody. And then you have people a place to sleep, maybe put a shower in there. I mean, I think that the city would be happier to have these people housed somewhere.
People are never going to be happy. And then you give them, that's true. If you give them housing,
they're like, how come I don't get a free house?
Yeah, I don't get a free house. It's like, okay, should we put rats in there? Do you want that?
Yeah.
So we like, well, what's going to make you not bitch about us helping other people?
Yeah, dude, it's such
I had to work for mine. I work hard.
Ugh.
I work hard. I'm like, mother.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here. You work hard. Yeah, Jesus.
Ugh. I've earned it. I've earned this. Yeah, you've earned it. You don't deserve it, though. Nobody deserves that.
Jesus.
You don't deserve wealth.
Nah. But you were going to say before I cut you off a little earlier, you were wanting to say something.
I'm high. I don't know.
Yeah, there you go.
What I'm talking about. Was it the, wait, let me look at my list. We made a list this time.
Yeah.
So I covered this. All right. I guess the Moore Theater. I wanted
So, yesterday, you
got to a last minute assignment.
Last minute assignment. It's funny how a lot of these things happen kind of last minute. But, I got a text from a guy I worked with, Ari Manis, very funny up and coming comic from LA.
Did you do that? Was that the Everett one that you did?
So yeah, on Tuesday we had a show in Everett, and it's so funny.
What
because
a night to do a show. Was it packed or was it?
It was like semi packed. It was probably like about, I would say there had to be at least 100 people, but it probably could have seated like 250 in there.
Yeah, but a Tuesday night,
not bad.
To have 100 people in Everett,
I really think that Everett is a very funny up and coming like place. I mean, like,
definitely has a lot of potential there.
Like, there's nothing to do out there, and these people are just like, yeah, we're kind of starved for entertainment.
Well, there's meth.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. Yeah. But I was sitting there, and I was like, these people came out, and like, Eric Griffin's one of my favorite comics.
Yeah.
But his opener, Ari, met him, great dude, super funny, and we kind of bonded off of like getting like death threats, not death threats, but like getting hated off of certain jokes. He did a joke on the Laugh Factory about how if he was a teacher and his student was 18, that he would date her. You know what I mean? And then I told him about the whole Mary Kay Letourneau thing.
Yeah.
And we kind of like bonded a little bit off that. And so anyways, he went to Canada for a show and then came back down and they were like, hey, we need an opener for, you know, this. So this guy, that's, you know, Theo's manager is going to call you. And that's kind of how it all fell in. But most of this shit is luck. You know, people seem to think that I'm just like booking, you know, shit left and right. You know how lazy I am as a human being.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I should be out there every night, but.
Well, okay. Yeah. To be fair, you worked like almost every weekend at the Parlor for like 2 years.
So you rub elbows with everybody. And I mean, like even with the Neptune when I did it with Ronnie Chang and that was sold out, that was because I knew Roy.
Yeah,
because
you had worked with Roy a couple times, right?
Exactly. And he knows me. So, that's all it is networking.
Well, and somebody said, hey, do you know anyone out there
that's funny?
Could have open for me. Like, oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, Manny.
You know what's actually interesting about that story? Ronnie was asking for an Asian opener, right? And then I was telling Roy, I was like, I think like Hans Kim might be available. And then Roy was like, nah, motherfucker, you're going to do it. And I was like, oh, okay, all right. So, you know.
You want an Asian opener?
Yeah, I think sometimes.
I was like, yeah, but then he's Asian.
Wonder. Yeah, you know, and then his feature
Does all the same stories.
That's one of the things. And I think that's why a lot of black comics don't have black openers. That's why they always call up like Dwayne Goat or like, you know, or whoever it may be. So, but.
Like some white person who won't step on my material.
I get it.
Talk about my black barbecue.
Yeah, who is it? Did you ever meet Toby Hicks?
I know Toby Hicks.
So Toby Hicks was opening for John Witherspoon one time.
Yeah.
And I guess he was crushing. And then he was supposed to do like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And John pulls him off at like 10 because I guess he was just crushing so hard that like everybody was laughing. He was like, that didn't feel like I did my time. And the guy was like, yeah, no, you didn't. But John wanted you to get off. But I guess it was because he was literally like, you know, some comics feel some sort of way if you're like getting the biggest roars.
And yeah.
I remember, I'll never forget, like, I won't say this comic's name, but he had hosted at the Parlor all weekend and just ate shit like Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
And like, he's kind of a like very arrogant comic.
Yeah.
And then Saturday he goes up literally. Like, and, you know, Boone's coming to watch. So I'm just like, oh, shit. All right. Now we can prove that, you know, he won't get booked anymore. This motherfucker, every joke he said was the biggest roar I've ever heard in my life on a Saturday like show. It was like, rah, bah, I'm like, holy shit. And Boone's like, this guy's fucking amazing. We got to book him more. I'm like, God damn it. So, oh, man. But
you can't. Was it? Okay, here's the thing. Were the jokes bad?
No.
I mean, they're roaring. So were the jokes bad?
No, I think the jokes were probably good. I mean, I think that it was just.
What I don't like is sometimes when I see someone gets booked, people watch it and they're like, oh, well, the audience loved them. And go, I'm like, yeah, but did you listen to it?
Yeah. Did you
it's
listen to
it? It's a crappy set.
Exactly.
Like, it's a, anybody can do that set. That's not right. He's not a good writer.
Totally. Yeah.
Like, yeah, he'll do good on somebody will laugh at them.
Yeah.
Eventually you'll get a crowd that'll laugh at that shit.
Yeah.
But you did the Moore Theater. So that's one.
Yeah. Another
so
one.
You've
down.
Done most theaters.
Most theaters out here.
Have
so.
You did the WAMU?
I don't think I've. Where is WAMU?
It's like CenturyLink.
CenturyLink.
It's like connected to it.
I don't think I have. I haven't done WAMU, and then I haven't done.
I only know that they even do comedy shows because that's where I saw Louis C.K.
No shit. Okay. Yeah, and then I have to do the Paramount. But I mean, that'll probably be like one of those like coincidences. Like I've got to be like, oh, Russell Peters is in town.
Yeah, because I don't. Or I mean, like it's all the giants that do that one.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it would have to be like, oh, Chappelle's here and he just needs somebody. You want to do like 10 minutes?
I don't think Chappelle did the Paramount, did he?
No, I think he did the Moore.
Chris Rock did the Paramount.
Oh, okay. I could see that.
Because he can fill that.
Well, so I'm sure Chappelle can fill that too. But
he
it's
can fill it?
Yeah, Chappelle easily.
Yeah.
But it's, honestly, I do wonder.
So many people.
He might like, you know, after that last special, he was kind of like hesitant with certain things because of. He had, you know, that joke about Caitlyn Jenner and then people kind of turned on him.
Yeah.
You know, so I wonder if you're afraid to go to certain liberal cities.
I think you should. I think here's the thing. Yeah. I think you should make fun of the Jenners all the time. The Jenners are horrible. It's a horrible family.
Yeah.
They're just horrible. I know. What's her name's getting her law degree.
Who?
Now. Kanye's wife. Which one is that?
Oh, the, Kim.
Kim Kardashian.
Jesus.
She's getting her law degree now.
Wow. What school does she pay to get into?
Hey, I'm sure she, whatever.
Yeah.
They're a horrible thing.
Yeah.
You know what? Anyone should be able to make fun of Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah.
Because she killed somebody.
That's right.
Right?
Oh,
she
I forgot
ran
about
over
that.
Somebody Jesus. And got off because she's rich.
Yeah.
Right? I don't care if you're. Like being trans is the only redeeming quality that you
have.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, you were a horrible person.
Yeah, you're a Republican.
You're the Republican transgender. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they have no interest in
they
any
hate
of
you.
You. Yeah.
She recently said something that she was like, you know, I'm starting to think that they aren't being very supportive of us. Oh, you think?
I saw
you
that.
You think?
Shit. Yeah.
Oh, good thing you noticed that.
Yeah.
Olympic medalist, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, I can't stand. So I'm like, I don't know. Can you say racist things about somebody if you hate them? Like, I mean, if they're horrible, is that okay? I don't know. That's where I'm like, you know, no, I hate transphobic jokes unless it's about Caitlyn Jenner because they're an awful, awful person.
Oh my God. And, yeah.
You know, like, no, you just can't say. Dude. You can say everything else about them, but nothing. Don't remark on their,
just some
their
of these,
sexualness.
Some of these fake ass people.
Can I make fun of their hair? I mean, oh, something. I hate them so much.
Oh, yeah.
Or I just have to call them a murderer all the time.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, well, they're a murderer.
I will say this about the Moore, though, is that it was three stories. Like, I forgot about that. And like,
is it three?
It's three, yeah. Oh. Is where the Neptune is two. And I mean, when you're telling jokes in the theater, you have to wait for that laughter to roll back.
Yeah.
But. The interesting thing about the Moore was they didn't even turn the fucking lights down for me yet. And I just went out and people were still getting seated. So
just the opener,
Yeah. You know what I mean? So
no, I remember when Gary I've seen openers there too. That happens to you.
Yeah.
They don't like, they're like, oh, just not until the main person.
Exactly. In. And it was, I mean, I was connecting with some of the people with the jokes.
Did you say something about, we're all sitting down?
No. I just was like, just get through your set, you know?
Were you nervous?
No.
No?
No, I mean, it's to the point now where it's like, I mean, there's always a little nerves until I say the first word.
Yeah.
But then I'm just fine. It's just, you know, we've done this how many times? You think about it, you've done over 1,000 sets.
Yeah, but like, it's just more of like, you know, the big stages or, I don't know if that's, remember I performed in live theater for 1,500 people.
Yeah,
That's not
big. It was never too big for you. I mean, maybe the first time you did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm like, so I think the biggest comedy I've done is about 800.
Yeah, where was that at?
Was it 800? No, it wasn't 800. But it was maybe 7. Yeah. 6 or 7. It was this ballroom in Wenatchee.
Oh, shit.
And Dwayne Goad took me.
Yeah.
And he just didn't, he didn't tell me how mm-hmm. big it was. Yeah. He didn't want to make me nervous.
Right, right.
I was like, dude, I've done theater. I love a big crowd.
Yeah.
Oh, this is fine.
And you crushed it, yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah. I had a great set. I remember that. He was like, this is wonderful.
Totally, yeah. And so for me, I mean, probably the biggest one that I was nervous about was the 2,500 seater at the Uncanny Festival. Where it's just I've never done that arena, you know? Like,
so was that you were nervous for that?
I was nervous until I got the first joke out. When I got the uh-huh. first laugh and you start realizing, oh, I'm in my hometown. There's no failing here, you know? Like,
yeah.
It was good.
I think I get nervous in an environment I've never done just to see, like,
yeah,
are they going to be able to hear?
That's so.
Are they going to hear? Is it going to be right?
I was more nervous at laughs doing the NBC thing.
Really?
In a small environment. One, because it's like, well, this is all the marbles, you know?
Yeah.
And then with the more, it's more like, oh, these people may remember me. You know, there are people who are stopping me on the streets and like, hey, man, you had a great set. I loved it. And I was like, did you even hear the jokes? You know, like, but they were laughing.
It's amazing. Wait, was it right after they stopped you? Or was it like days later?
No. It was just like hours. Or it was like an hour later, you know, when I'm walking down the street after the show. You know, people are like, hey, man, you're fucking hilarious. You know, can I get a picture with you?
It's just crazy to me when people recognize you and it's not.
Right.
Like someone said, good job, like on the 206. Like,
yeah, yeah.
A week later.
Right.
Just on the street. I was like, oh, well, that's random that you watched that show. And
it's so funny to me. Like when I did the Up Late Northwest, there was a lady in my office who was like, yeah, I was asleep in bed. And then all of a sudden I hear Manny's voice and I'm like, what the fuck? You know, and like, I'm like, oh, okay. You know, so people are up, just have the TV on and watching.
A friend of mine, she was in Israel.
Really?
And she saw my Amazon commercial.
No shit. That's awesome.
Like, what? It just ran. I'm like, did you even know?
Yeah.
She's like, I knew you had done. I saw you post your profile pic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I knew it was out there.
Totally.
But that was it.
Yeah.
And just one day she's just on the internet and suddenly that pops up and she's like, I know him. Dude, hold on.
That's awesome.
It's Silas.
I mean, you think about it. It's like there's such small things to us and we're kind of like, eh, whatever. But
well, after time has passed. And
yeah,
I still think it was so funny to me when who was that guy from Saturday Night Live that we met at Folk Life or something?
Oh, Jay Farrow.
Yeah. And I hadn't watched SNL in like 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had no idea he was famous. And so I was sitting there talking to him. And until we're like walking away and people are like, oh, hey, great. And I thought they were like, oh, they just saw a set.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know he was like TV famous.
Totally, yeah.
I'm like, oh.
It's so funny too, the way he would handle it. And when people are like, dude, you look just like Jay Farrow. He's like, oh, I get that a lot. You know what I mean? Just, and then just walk. But yeah, it is. It's always interesting. Like who is, I always think, who watches TV anymore? Like me and you. Mostly Netflix. I mean, a few.
A lot. Yeah. I don't do a lot live.
Right.
I mean, I watch.
We watch series. Like
the 100.
Totally.
But
yeah.
I'm behind a couple episodes, but I do.
What's the 100 about?
The 100?
Yeah.
You don't know the 100? Mm. It's based off some books, which is good. It's in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Earth people escape to space stations.
Okay.
They're in space stations and. A bunch of different space stations collected to survive after there was a nuclear war.
Okay.
And so they connected. And so they're living up there until the Earth is going to be better.
Okay.
But something goes wrong.
Hmm.
And so they're like, we got to figure out what to do. And so they send their prisoners,
mm-hmm.
which are only kids.
Oh, shit.
Now, because the rules ended up becoming, if you break a law,
mm-hmm.
you die.
Ooh.
So if you break any rule, you get the airlock and you're dying. They can't keep prisoners.
Damn.
You need to be able to contribute.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't kill anybody under 18.
Mm.
So they got sent to the only prison was under 18.
Okay.
And so they were like, well, the station's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not enough time has passed. We don't know if it's okay to live down there or not. And so. They sent them down there to see if they survive.
Okay.
And so communication gets broken off. But anyway, so it's 100 prisoners.
Okay.
And so they're all kids. So they're mm-hmm. all like, you know, they're all 18,
right.
17. Less, you know, it's a sex scene, so mm-hmm. then you imagine they must be 21 or something. So you're
right,
not,
right.
So you're not a pervert. Right? So they're down there, and then so it's them surviving, and then there, of course there's people mm-hmm. that are down there that apparently have lived, and they didn't know why.
Okay,
but so it's them surviving, and it's kind of the story of this post. My favorite post-apocalyptic. I love that's my jam.
Oh God, awesome.
If I had a jam,
yeah,
like that's I would make that.
Okay,
post-apocalyptic. That's it. Put it on bread. Put it on whatever.
There you go.
What's it taste like? I don't know. Burnt the embers of humanity.
You're right. So
embers of humanity.
So let me ask you this. So post-apocalyptic ball surgery.
Yeah.
Any shows after this? What's your first post-ball surgery?
I think I have something. I'll be doing Minority Retort in August.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
Great
show.
I'm not sure where it is then. I'm not sure if it's Jai Tai now on, or if last time I did their show, they did it at the Central Cinema.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That was really good. Yeah. It's like the little theater kind of.
But it's like a movie theater. But
yeah.
That's a great.
And it's got
little
tables. Like, we should do something there.
I love that space. It's a great space. I want to go see a movie there.
Yeah, totally.
They play like older movies, like Back to the Future.
We should film a movie and then air it there.
That'd be great.
Do a premiere. That'd be fun.
Central Cinema. So I got that booked. And then I have some others, I think, that were falling into dates still. Like, or I've asked that I'm available.
Oh, okay.
I'm available.
There you go.
Will you take me? Please. Please. I'm a comic. I'm working. I'm gonna be booking a new show if I didn't mention that. So maybe you should book me now, and I will reward you in the future. It's called quid pro quo. I'm high.
Yeah,
I can't say things like that. Quid pro quo. I'm all into that now.
Okay.
But that's it. I'm kind of focused right now on the 48.
Okay.
Shooting that movie.
Totally.
Gotta get there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you heard in the beginning, or check us out, blackandhalf.com/fundraiser. See if you can contribute. $5. It's the minimum donation, but it helps, and it can, you know, it can go all the way to something else. So check that out. But we're kind of out of time for the day.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Black and a half.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by. Join us. Impressive. Join us. Impressive.